This is Phil Farron. And I am driving to my mother and father-in-law's house. My wife had a colonoscopy today. Yay! We had a little bit of drama last night. Just an exciting evening. They were supposed to send flavor packets home with whatever that stuff she was drinking to flush herself out. And then they didn't send the flavor packets. And then we called them. And then they said, oh, you can just put Crystal Light in it. Just don't put anything in it that will darken the water. And so we had some of that stuff. So my wife was putting that in. And then she came down. She said, I got a problem. Because she was going along and she was kind of mixing it up to where it would taste a little better. And she accidentally picked up the wrong packet and dumped it in there, and it was purple. So I ran back into town because she had already started the process and couldn't get away from the house at that point. Picked her up another jug of that stuff, and so then she managed to choke her way through it and got down and got the colonoscopy done today. And so I'm going to pick her up because she is not supposed to be driving at this point. Anyways, it's been a good week. We closed another month there at my major client, and I'm started up on another project now. And so it's been a long week, and just, you know, waiting for things to land, but everything seems to have landed all right. And so yay. Last night we actually constructed 1180 some odd Excel spreadsheets and PDFs. So it was a big night, but everything seemed to run. Yay. The writing's going fine. The book keeps evolving. The characters keep settling in. And it's fun. It's fun. So life is good. It is short. This is going to be a short one because they only live about 15 minutes away. So I got to get right to the topic. I finished up watching Sherlock, the BBC Sherlock. I had seen them all before, but I wanted to go back and just start from the beginning since there's only 3 episodes a season, and just watch them all through as I was exercising. So I'd finished all that stuff up, and I was looking around for something else to watch the other night when I clicked on the documentaries tab there on Netflix, and I saw this thing called Bronies. And I thought, Bronies? What? What? What is this? And so I started watching it. And I thought, well, this is interesting. Because it was a bunch of guys, you know, in their 20s and some older, talking about how they watched My Little Pony, the cartoon. And they thought it was great. Bear in mind that my daughter had My Little Ponies when she was growing up, and we used to actually take the My Little Ponies and we would make our own movies. And we had taken some chairs and put them upside down, and those were the wicker chair mountains, and we had we had a rug that was made out of pieces that we had put all together, and some of them had hearts on it. So they were living in the land of the Heart Rug Mountain, and there was the orange cord swamp. We'd take an electrical cord, and we probably made 8 or so of these little, just short, you know, things. I wanted to show Lizzie what it was like to actually put together some kind of little TV show. I didn't have any software at the time or any editing stuff, and so we did jump cuts on everything. The little video camera I had at that point that recorded onto, I think, 8mm magnetic tape, it was pretty good about pausing it and coming off pause, and, you know, it would cut right to it. So we would make a title screen and you could take a picture of that, and then it would scroll it up. And so, I mean, we did all that stuff and just kind of made up a little story and then taped it. It was, you know, it was the Ponies of Cote Castle. That's what it was called. And we made stuff, so it was fun. So, of course, this caught my attention, these guys talking about their love of My Little Ponies. Well, as it turns out, there's been several series of My Little Ponies. This particular one that seems to be popular right now is called My Little Ponies, The Magic of Friendship. And it was created by a woman named Lauren Faust, who had a very clear idea of what she wanted to do. And the more I was watching this little thing, I was thinking, well, yeah, this makes sense. I can see how this would appeal to people. And it's actually heartening that it does appeal to some people, specifically some younger men who wouldn't necessarily be the most popular kids in the class. And in fact, there was a psychologist that was talking about the fact that not only is My Little Ponies constituting a social function for them in terms of helping them to make friends with and connect with other people they wouldn't necessarily have an opportunity to connect with, beyond that social function, it's actually helping them in their lives. It's actually providing learning. And the reason is that this My Little Ponies, the underlying theme of it is the elements of harmony. And these elements of harmony sound very familiar to anyone, most of them do, to anyone who you know, has heard of the fruit of the spirit, or if anyone has imagined what it would be like to live in the spirit as opposed to people living in the flesh, because they are honesty, kindness, laughter, generosity, loyalty, and magic. Okay, well, magic maybe not so much, but these things like honesty and loyalty and generosity, very definitely we've got a situation there where we're helping people to say, okay, this is how you can cope. This is how you deal with situations that come up that might cause you to feel a certain way. And what's interesting is these young guys are actually really responding this to the point that it has, Bronies is a full-fledged fandom thing. There have been 3 seasons, I think, of My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. Unfortunately, the creator of the show, Lauren Faust, left the show, apparently over creative differences, because Hasbro actually owns this show, and their whole goal with this show is not to teach life lessons. Their goal is to sell toys to little girls. And so apparently they kind of started nudging her to move the stories in a direction that was not what she was wanting to do. And, you know, they came to a parting of the ways, which is kind of sad. But Bronies, the documentary, actually records a BronyCon, Brony conventions, and it follows people who are going to their first convention who are big bronies, and it really, it's quite cute and touching, because there was like one young man who had been diagnosed with Asperger's, and you know, just the process of going to this convention, meeting other people who enjoyed My Little Pony, having the experiences there, being able to interact with them, feeling very comfortable around them, really had, you could tell, made a major impact on his life. And there were other young men there who had been taken to task for their love of My Little Ponies. And they said, you know, they had taken a lot of these lessons of how to stand against evil and applied them to their lives. And there was one particular very interesting story that actually made me think and made me ponder. This particular young man had an old Mercedes. He lived in Appalachia, in the Appalachian Mountains. He had an old Mercedes that he drove, really nice looking car, but he had My Little Pony stickers on it. And apparently, this really offended the good old boys in that area, at least some of them. Because I guess they all just assumed that he was gay. To the point that he was talking about being at like a gas station and guys coming up, you know, wielding bats and, you know, other implements of harm and threatening him and saying, you know, you need to stop that My Little Pony stuff. You don't stop that, you know, we're going to beat you up. And I was watching this and I was thinking, this is very interesting because what really is going on here? Granted, this is flesh. That's easy to decide. But what really is causing this reaction, this vitriol? Because there's something underneath it. There's always, as I'm fond of saying, there's always some sort of lie underneath an emotional negative reaction. And if you can figure out what that lie is, you can often... hang on, I'm not quite in tight enough. I'm actually at my mother-in-law's and father-in-law's. I'm just trying to get parked in next to the curb. You can actually, if you figure out what that lie is, you can expose it, and you can actually back down the emotional reaction. So, you know, the question is, what is that lie that the flesh is telling them? Because it's something that is filling them with a great deal of fear, that is offending their sensitivities. And I think it's tied in with they think he's gay, but then the question is, okay, why are you so afraid of that? And I'm not exactly sure what the answer is, but there may be several answers all bound up in there. One of them may be that they're afraid that for some reason this sensitivity that this young man has, or this feminine side that this young man has, is somehow contagious. That, you know, if they're around somebody who's like that, that they might catch it, which seems a little bit odd. One of them is that if you have men that are expressing their feminine side, that then these heterosexual guys might be attracted to that, and they don't want that to happen, so they just want all guys to be guys. That might be it. I think also there could be that they're concerned about the competition. Because mostly what the flesh feeds us in terms of interactions with others and our emotional, there's a whole lot of procreation subtext to that. And that kind of fear-anger response usually is indicative of something that relates directly to this disadvantages me in some way in being able to procreate. So is it competition? You know, are they concerned that a kind, sensitive man would be more likely to attract the better females? I don't know. It's just very interesting because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if a guy likes My Little Pony, that's fine. I watched a couple of the shows, and in fact, they are pretty good about teaching, okay, if you're in a situation where you're confronted by evil of some kind, how do you respond? And that's a valuable lesson. And what was heartening to me about that is that, in fact, people are drawn to that idea. Certain people are drawn to it, which means that there's something going on in their spirit where there is a whisper that they are listening to that is telling them there is a better way to live life than simply to react to things and fight back and that kind of thing. And I think that's valuable. So if people want to watch My Little Pony and that brings them together in friendship and kindness and generosity for each other, I say yay. And as to why this should be so threatening to others, I don't know for sure. But if I was just going to guess, I would guess that it's either because manly men are afraid of it rubbing off on them and thereby diminishing their chances of getting a mate and being able to procreate, or they're afraid that, in fact, the more sensitive, caring man is going to be too much competition for them. And I would probably favor the latter. Because guys know they could be more caring and could be more sensitive. And sometimes they just feel like they can get away with not being that because nobody else is. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it to my mother and father-in-law's house.